And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of The Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope it's going very well for you. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support and your encouragement. And I don't know what you've been hearing and seeing, but the debate over the debate is bigger than the debate. You know, it's like everybody's debating over the debate now and what the president did. But you know, what I think is most interesting that's come out of this, even more interesting than what actually happened between President Trump and former Vice President Biden, reflections on the behavior of Chris Wallace. I think that is the most interesting thing that came out of the debate, because I really believe that a lot of people saw the bias of Chris Wallace writ large. I think, you know, he's hailed as he's one of the best interviewers on television, and he's such a great journalist. But he's clearly a leftist. He clearly leans left. And, you know, I always say people can try to hide who they really are, but it leaks out. You can't hide it forever. And it's leaking big. In fact, I think Chris Wallace had a great big old gusher during the debate, because the way he criticized the president, and if somebody pointed out, even when he laughed, he tended to laugh with Joe Biden. In other words, it's like he and Joe Biden were together and the joke's on President Trump. So it is very interesting to me that people are now beginning to see something that many of us have been seeing for a long time, which is that some of these personalities on Fox who had hidden pretty well their left-leaning bias, it now seems to be coming to the fore quite readily. Now, I said yesterday, I believe that the president won the debate hands down. I don't think it was even close. But I have even heard some conservatives say that they thought the president messed it up because he interrupted too much and so on and so forth. But I think that's a misunderstanding of who President Trump is. I think if anybody expected President Trump to go in there and politely listen to Joe Biden and then politely respond back, then they really don't understand who President Trump is. President Trump is a street fighter. And he wasn't about to let Biden go on with calling him a liar and a clown and you know, shut up man, and not pound away at his points. And he did that. But you know, the proof that he won, not just my opinion, but the ultimate proof that he won, is that the debate commission is now talking about changing the rules. Now, if the consensus were that Joe Biden had won the debate hands down and President Trump looked weak and ineffectual and uninformed and without a command of the facts, nobody would be talking about changing the rules of the debate. They're only talking about that because they're trying to figure out a way to make it possible for Biden to do better. See, I don't trust this debate commission either. I really don't. Because, look, the reality, folks, is that the left is controlling most of the institutions of cultural influence. Thank God for AFR, AFA. Thank God, because we're one of the few sources where people can go and actually get the facts and get truth, as opposed to this leftist ideological spin that we tend to get almost any and everywhere else. Did you see or read about the debate? I've got debate on my mind, but it was supposed to be an interview, but it really turned out to be more of a debate. between Cuomo and Chris. This is Chris Cuomo, and Senator Ted Cruz. Well, the idea that Chris Cuomo is a journalist is a joke. It really is a joke. In fact, that Stephanopoulos is a journalist. I mean, that's a joke. That's a joke. These people aren't journalists. They're political hacks that have been rewarded for their leftist ideology by leftist media organizations that want them to come on and spew more leftist ideology. I mean, that's all this boils down to. This is not journalism. But he said some really nasty things to Senator Ted Cruz. Of course, he was primarily going after the president and claiming that the president was responsible and criticizing, of course, more conservative states with Republican governors for having botched COVID. And when Senator Cruz pointed out that New York had a higher death rate, exceedingly higher death rate than Texas, Chris Cuomo just came unhinged. Oh, yeah, he just came unhinged. Well, everybody else made mistakes, too, and we're not the only. I mean, you know, but they don't give the president that kind of leeway. No, the president, the president's out to kill people. He didn't make any mistakes. He's just out and out sought to get people killed with COVID. But when it comes to his brother, oh, well, everybody's made mistakes. And, you know, my brother's record speaks for itself. And, oh, my goodness, he just went off. And I don't have time to get into the details of some of the things that he said, but it's just a reminder to me. When I read it, you know what I thought? And I'm serious, folks. I was just thinking, thank God for AFR. Wow. Because, for one thing, the level of hatred that these people have for Christians, for conservatives, for patriots, for people who respect our Constitution, for people who love our country, the level of hatred that they have for us is unreal. And that's part of the contrast. It's part of the difference in what you get here, because we're not motivated by hatred. We're motivated by love of God, love of our country, even love for people who don't agree with us. We want to persuade them. We want to win them. Of course, I've said many times, if we can't do that, they could just leave. But, it's a friendly invitation to depart. but the venom that pours out of these folks is just unreal. And, folks, this book I've been reading, I finished it now, by Mark Bray on Antifa, an anti-fascist handbook. They practice hatred. They teach hatred. They teach violence. You know, one of the things that and I'm going to get into some of the details when I have an opportunity to really do this, but one of the insights I gained from the book is that these riots that we've been seeing around the country are not spontaneous at all. They are, in fact, planned. This is what Antifa and those who support them want. And they're actually teaching and training people how to be violent and to be disruptive. Now, I'm not exaggerating, folks. They're actually teaching people how to be violent and disruptive. In fact, the whole black bloc, which does not refer to race again, it refers to wearing all black. And you'll see that in some of these pictures of these riots and marches. That's intended to make it impossible to identify the people who are engaged in criminal behavior. So this stuff and the media supports them. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Dennis Prager had to admit that he had been wrong. All his life, he has said that the left's moral compass is broken. He has concluded that in order to have a broken compass, you need to have a moral compass to begin with, but the left doesn't have one. He doesn't mean that conclusion as an attack. It is merely an observation that the left doesn't really think in terms of good and evil. You know, we assume that other people think that way because we think that way, but that is not how most of the people on the left perceive the world. He begins with Karl Marx. He divided the world by economic class, the worker and the owner. One group was exploiting the other group. Good and evil aren't really relevant when you're thinking in terms of class struggle. Friedrich Nietzsche, for example, operated beyond good and evil. To the Marxist, there is no such thing as a universal good or universal evil. Those of us who perceive the world from a Judeo-Christian worldview see ethics as relevant to the moral standard, not the person or the social status. Dennis Prager then provides a number of examples. Race is more important than ethics, as illustrated by some who argue that looting stores during riots is nothing more than reparations. Another example of a leftist compass is power. Right and wrong are determined by class, rich versus poor and race, black versus white, and power, strong versus weak. And we see other examples of leftist perspective concerning sex and sexual orientation. We see this playing out vividly when a police officer must confront a person of color. The cop is always wrong, and the perpetrator is always right, regardless of his previous actions or prior criminal record. The moral compass isn't broken. Actually, it doesn't exist. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
A judge in Nevada said that casinos had more rights than churches do.
The culture war rages in America.
We have to be very, very suspicious of this transition in our society that's being forced on us by movements like Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
It's a threat to our families, a threat to our future as a nation.
And so what we see happening in our society is the empowerment of the spiritual darkness that will allow the slaughter of children.
Hosted by Walker Wildman, the upcoming AFA at Home virtual town hall brings vital insight from defenders of the faith, Dr. Richard Land, Star Parker, Abraham Hamilton III, Sandy Rios, the Benham Brothers, and Tim Barton. AFA at Home streams live Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. Central at afaaction.net. Register for free at afaaction.net.
This is a spiritual battle, and we all are required to toe the line and take a stand.
Brian Fisher here. Nancy Pelosi puts 19,000 airline employees out of work. Joe Biden and Amy Coney Barrett are both Catholics. What's the difference? Democrats continue to run full bore on their cheat-by-mail plan. I'll have examples for you. Who started interrupting who in the debate? The answer will surprise you and stun the talking snake media. That and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We've got a guest coming up in a moment, folks. But just stand by for that. But in the meantime, let's get into this a little bit. MSNBC, of course, my affectionate name for them, is the Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel. I'll tell you what, I'll talk about that interview. I think we've got our guest. Folks, we've got an important election coming up, and one of my friends, a very good friend, has started a 50-day movement of prayer to help us weather this horrible attack on every good thing that America represents. He's the head of Somebody Cares in the Tampa Bay, Florida area, and he is leading this charge for us to pray leading up to the election. Daniel Bernard, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks, my friend, for all that you are doing to help our country. Tell us about this new project you've got going.
Well, thank you, Bishop. Thank you for just a great opportunity to share with your folks there. God just dropped it in my spirit that we need to do this 50-day fight, and we're so grateful that we did. Today we had Star Parker on, and so every day we have one of the things that we have is a daily prayer call, and which is being live streamed out to across the nation, and we have a guest like Star Parker and yourself and Bishop Harry Jackson of Alveda King. We'll have Jim Daly from Focus on the Family, David Barton, all these guys will be different guests would come on every day. They'll share today was so powerful. But then we have we'll wrap up with about an hour or so of prayer after that, just praying daily. But then, of course, we're asking everybody, pastors to register and get their adopt a day of prayer. Actually, there's also a place we can adopt a 24-hour day of prayer as well. But adopting days of prayer and just mobilizing everybody to get out there to vote as well. But main thing, two things, we're trying to get everybody to pray in those candidates that will uphold biblical values and principles, and to see God place them, you know, and that's God's seat that they want to get. And so we're just praying them to be able to actually serve where God has established those seats for those who are righteous. And so we're praying that. And of course, the other thing we're praying for is simultaneously, because we need both these, is the church to get to a new place, really enter into spiritual awakening, revival, and really become the church that we need to be to see this transformation of our country. So those Amen. Are the two main things we're after, and we have a lot of things slated. You know, one of the things we're doing on the 8th, we're going to not only have every day at 11 o'clock, Monday through Friday, we pray. On the 8th, we're also going to have Dr. Che Han, who's going to be at the Integrity Church in Lakeland. He's going to be sharing. We're going to connect with that as a live stream so everybody could hear him because, as you know, all the oppression that the church is going through in California, so he'll be sharing there. And then that same night on the 8th, there's a movie called The Trump Prophecy that's coming out. And we're going to be doing prayer at 10 o'clock Eastern Time and then midnight Eastern Time. People will be coming out of the movie theater. It's a Fathom event of The Trump Prophecy, the guy, fireman, who had an injury, had a dream back in 2011, and the dream was about President Trump, now President Trump. So it just really helped to actually ignite 250,000 people being on a prayer call back in 2016. And so they're trying to ignite that prayer again. So it's a Fathom event called The Trump Prophecy. You might go out and see it if it's in your area. But then afterwards, we're going to be praying at 10 o'clock at night for those, especially on the Eastern time and Central time. And then for midnight, we'll be praying again for those who are there Mountain time and Pacific time. So that'd be, we're going to have different things that are going to interject in between the 50 days of prayer as well. 24-hour prayer coming October 31st. Of course, you're going to be our guest, both on the October 31st and November 1st. You're going to be sharing a word, and then we're going to be having live stream prayer across the nation as we come into the election. And so those are just some of the highlights that we're going to be doing. But the main thing, everybody getting on board, register, let's pray together, and see the positive agreement come
take place. How do they register? How do they plug
in? I'm sorry, I forgot. 50 Day Fight, the number 50, 50dayfight.com. You know, 50dayfight.com is the website. And then if you want to join in prayer, of course, you go there and register and so forth if you'd like. You don't have to register in order to be on and to be a part of the prayer time. But if you want to be a part, then you go to 50dayfight.com/live. So one is the website, one is the live stream, 50dayfight.com/live. Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock. Saturday is their Spanish. Saturdays at 5 o'clock. And then Sundays, of course, back in English at 5 o'clock, too. So on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, 5 o'clock, Saturday being Spanish, trying to grab all our brothers and sisters who speak Spanish on Saturday, and then Sunday at 5 o'clock. So Monday through Friday at 11, go to the website. We're going to have a mini-series, kind of, if you will, called the Fight Nights. So we'll be doing some nights as well, especially one with Terry Kemple of Project Protect Our Children Project. Praying, and we're going to have a bunch of youth praying that night, praying for the protection of things that are coming into the public schools and what have you. So some special nights coming up as well. Go to 50dayfight.com and join us.
Now, Dan, you've got millions of people. You said you've had, I think, over a million people who have already plugged into this and through the various, I mean, you've got a lot of people supporting this and working together to help mobilize our country for prayer and ultimately, of course, to get out and vote for this election. How is that going, and how can other people help expand the numbers of people who are aware of it?
Well, you know, you're right, Bishop. What's happened was that 2 weeks before we even launched, the Right Wing Watch somehow came across our website, and they did a full article on it, sent it out nationally so that all people on the left could be aware that we were coming. And with that, you know, the Facebook then shut down, would not run our ads. And so we were forced into, like, telling everybody, got to do organic, and everybody sharing and so forth. Unfortunately, we had some people that had, like, even Lieutenant Colonel Al West, he has, like, 2.7 followers and so forth on his social media. So he agreed to help share and so forth, and other people did that. So anyway, just individuals sharing, putting on their Facebook pages and posting and so forth. I mean, like you said, our reach went well beyond a million now. And now, you know, now Facebook is going to start running some of our ads. So thankfully for that.
But well, Facebook still, has relented, you know, really, so now they're going to run the ads, huh?
Yes, I guess maybe they saw, maybe they saw the reach we were getting without them anyway, so I don't know what the deal was. But we still need everybody doing that, you know, because everybody can have an impact, and, you know, to want to be sharing that as well. And if those who are of African descent, another good website they can go to help, you know, impart and share with them, which you're on, of course, Bishop, is don'tlistentothiswhiteguy.com. That's just another good resource to get, and that's also on the 50-day fight as well. But that's a whole compilation of people like Bishop E.W. Jackson, Harry Jackson, Star Parker, Thomas Sowell, and so forth, who are sharing, you know, just wisdom for the nation, but especially for those of African descent. So, you know, yeah, it's very exciting. Everybody will go on to 50-Day Fight, you'll see the video is in Spanish and English. The website, click on the right hand side in the upper right hand corner. The website goes into being in Spanish as well. So share it, get it out there, and join, and, you know, pray. That's how we're going to win the day, and so we're just moving into these last days. I think we're going to see great revival take place, and so just encourage everybody to. I know one thing, Bishop. I think, like you said, you know what, you know, I have to stand before the Lord one day and say, what did you do? What did you do in this time and place? And right, Bill said, you know, we put it all out there. You know, we're not necessarily for any one party or whatever. We're praying for biblical values, whoever lines up with that. As you know, just most, for the most part, that ends up being many of the Republican candidates. But that's really what it's about. It's about praying in those who would have, that are more kingdom, biblical principles and so forth. So.
Exactly. It's not about party. It's about principle, ultimately, and it's about biblical principle. So. Well, look, you've been doing it big for a while. I mean, you were on with me, well, I guess a few months ago, to talk about the favorite movie that you produced based on your son's life story and a wonderful, I mean, it's a fictional story, but based around his own tragedy. And that, I think millions of people saw that film, and that's still out there. So, listen, Daniel, I think you're doing a great service to the country at a critical moment. And, of course, I am fully supportive of it, and I hope that all of our audience gets completely behind this, because prayer is what we need. We need action. Faith without works is dead, but prayer sets the stage for the action that we have to take. Any final comments?
No, just, that's really it today. We need to please join 50dayfight.com. Be a part. You know, you're the light of the world. You know, you are a person of impact. And so just know that, and of course, how much more impact we can have together. I know that God, the redemptive purpose of the United States of America was here so that we could be help share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And I believe that that's still our purpose. And so as a stewardship of those purposes that God himself has put into the United States of America, we need to fight for these liberties and with everything that we got. So. So we just encourage anybody to really join the fight and press in. I have a word. The woman with the issue of blood, the guy gave me a message about how she is really an image of the church in America, but she continued to do so many things but end up getting worse. I just said the bottom line is that unfortunately the church in America has gotten worse.
That's going to do it, Daniel. Listen, thank you so much for joining me. We appreciate it. God bless you. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Words are wonderful things. They help us in expressing our appreciation to God for all that He's done for us. They help us in expressing our love for other people. They help us in sharing with others wonderful truths which we have found in life. They even provide a medium by which we can share a moving story. I'd like to use some words to do that, to share a moving story. It's such a simple story. Perhaps that's the best kind of story, you know, a simple one, because most of us can understand a simple story. One day a man was walking down the street. He ran into a boy who had two birds in a cage. The man asked the boy about the birds. "Where did you get those two beautiful birds?" The boy was quick to reply, "I set a trap and captured them." "What do you plan to do with the birds?" the man asked. "Well, I'm going to take them home and feed them to my cat," the boy replied. The man looked at the two lovely but helpless birds. He thought about the beautiful music the birds could bring if they were free. He thought about other birds who loved those two birds in the cage and how the other birds would miss their friendship. He thought about freedom and how much he himself loved freedom. "How much will you take for the cage and the birds?" the man asked the boy. "You must be kidding," the boy said. "What would anyone want with two worthless birds?" Again the man asked, "How much do you want for the cage and the birds?" The boy saw the determined look on the face of the man. "How much money do you have?" he asked the man. "Son, I only have $2, came the reply. There was a moment of silence, and then the boy replied, "I'll take $2 for the birds." The man reached down into his pocket, took out the $2. He gave them to the boy. The boy handed the man the cage and the two birds. As he walked away, he made this statement, "Stupid man, to give his last $2 for a pair of worthless birds." The man turned and opened the cage. His heart sang with gladness as he let the birds go free. And everyone he met walking down the street wondered about the expression of joy and happiness on the man's face. They all wondered why he carried an empty bird cage. Now, what's the relation between the story and us? Simply this. We're like the birds in the cage. The devil baited his trap with the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. He had man in his grip, and his only desire was to destroy him. But God's heart was full of hurt because it was His desire that man should be free. So He asked the devil what He'd take for those who were caught in the cage of sin. The devil at first thought God was kidding. He could not understand why God would want a free, worthless man. The devil finally decided to make a joke and say to God that he would let man go, but only at the expense of God's Son. But to the surprise of the devil, God agreed to give His Son. This He did at Calvary. And now those who desire can walk out of the cage of sin and into the freedom of life eternal. Words are wonderful things, aren't they?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, yesterday I got your comments about the debate. Today, I'm still interested in your comments about the debate, but now I'm interested in your comments about the debate, about the debate. What do you think about what people are saying? Look, I've said repeatedly on this program, the mainstream media is just so wholly corrupt, or as some like to refer to it, the lamestream media or the left-wing media, whatever you want to call it. They're so hopelessly corrupt that the only reason you watch is to simply confirm that and remind yourself that you can't trust them. And that's the only reason. MSNBC, and by the way, I do not emphasize this enough. MSNBC is part of the NBC network, a once highly respected and storied network and news organization. MSNBC is part of that. Many of the personalities that appear on NBC regular appear also on MSNBC. Now, they had they have a contributor, MSNBC does, called Anand Jirharadas. I think this is an Indian person. India is from, you know, the nation of India, who said this. President Trump's supporters are people who like fascism. Yes, he actually said that. President Trump's supporters are people who like fascism. Now, folks, I don't want to overuse the word stupid, but I just don't know how much more stupid you can be. Many of our loved ones, our grandfathers, fathers in some cases, depending upon your age, grandfathers fought fascism, sought to destroy fascism, lost their lives opposing fascism. And you've got these idiots coming on television telling people that folks with that background, which many Americans have, suddenly become people who like fascism. So I guess we ought to apologize to Adolf Hitler and to Mussolini and to every fascist dictator that's reared his ugly head, because after all, we now like it. Look, there's no nice way to express how stupid that is. But it's worse than that. Because here again, this book Antifa is pointing out a couple of things, and I want to get your calls, by the way. 888-589-8840 is the number. 888-589-8840. This is the way they think of anyone who doesn't subscribe to their far-left ideology. If you are opposed to same-sex marriage, you're a fascist. If you believe the Bible as it defines sexual morality and family, you're a fascist. If you believe in capitalism, free enterprise, you're a fascist. So basically, anybody who doesn't believe in, and by the way, Antifa is very clear in articulating that their goal is a socialist / communist revolution. They're very clear in articulating that. Now, here's the thing that makes them so very dangerous, is that they are accepted in the mainstream. They've been defended. You don't hear Republicans or conservatives defending Nazis. You don't hear Republicans or conservatives defending the Ku Klux Klan. You don't hear Republicans or conservatives defending skinheads who hate people on the basis of race. You don't hear Christians doing that. But the left regularly defends Antifa. Regularly. And by the way, all this talk about the president, well, he didn't denounce the Proud Boys. He should look, as far as I am concerned, the president did exactly what he should have done. Now, could he have been maybe a little bit more articulate in terms of how he said it? Yes. But his goal, in my view, is one that I wholly support, which is no. We're not going to get off the subject of the people who are disrupting cities all over this country with violence and looting and riots and talk about some group that nobody really even knows anything about. We're not doing that. Because, folks, I had to do research on the Proud Boys to find out who they are. And based on what I learned, I don't know that they're a white supremacist group. I don't know. I mean, I got kind of two different views of it. I heard they're black people who belong to Proud Boys. So I don't know. But even, look, Even if they are, okay, and I don't know that they are, but let's just for the moment, for the sake of argument, even if they are, they're not the ones who are creating havoc in the cities of our country. They're not the ones who are going up on people's private property demanding that they take their flags down or that they come out of their houses because they don't deserve to be in there. They're not the ones who are attacking police. They're not the ones who are trying to burn down federal buildings. And oh, the president didn't, he didn't denounce white supremacy, because that's what they want. They want him to get off the subject at hand, the real danger that the country faces. And let's talk about these marginalized people that folks don't even know anything about. And let's give them all the attention while we ignore the real threat to our constitutional republic, which is these far left communist, socialist, Marxist, anarchist players who are in the streets of our cities pretty much every single day, causing disruption everywhere they can. So he went on to say, this so-called commentator went on to say, it's important to understand that this is a decisive break from our past, what Donald Trump is doing. This is a frontal assault on the idea that we should elect the president democratically. We are enabling the actual shattering of American democracy. These people have lost their minds. They have lost their minds. Because it has been conservatives who have been the ones calling for limited government, calling for lower taxes, calling for less regulation, calling for less government control over our lives. We've been the ones doing that. And the left is constantly telling everybody how much more government control is needed. We need to mandate this. We need to mandate that. We need to order people to do this. Biden said at the debate, we need to mandate mask wearing. So in other words, we need to order everybody to wear a mask. And what are we going to have, the mask police next? We're going to start a new mask enforcement project and have uniform patrols. He's not wearing a mask. Go get that person. Accost them. He says not as an obligation or something like that, but as a patriotic duty. Well, if it's a patriotic duty, I don't need to be ordered to do it. This Antifa thinking, based on my reading of this book, I'm convinced of this, it has found its way into the mainstream. And they are influenced, profoundly influenced by it, because, of course, these are creatures of the left, and they are open and receptive to it anyway. And they don't realize they're being co-opted by an extremist group. And all these corporations and whatnot, these people hate capitalism, folks. I'm not exaggerating. They hate capitalism. And you got all these stupid CEOs and corporate heads supporting this craziness, and they don't know, here again. They will be the first to fall if people like this take power. Your calls when we come back.
We have this idea about God that he is on our side, and somehow we think, well, I have chosen my side and the Lord is with me, right? The Lord is not obligated to be with you in your arbitrary choice of sides. Mm-hmm. The Lord has not obligated himself in that way. But when we are on the Lord's side, then he is automatically on our side.
Marriage, family, and the church. The focus of Airing the Addisons weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Look, it's a great question, and maybe you know the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. But does it work? That's what Catherine was wondering when her family of five made the switch, and then she was diagnosed with an advanced cancer.
Just the surgeon's bill was $100,000. The first call that I made to MediSure, I was prayed with and prayed for, and there were just no problems at all. I mean, we just have not had any problems.
So her need was met. And MediShare is a community of Christians who've now shared more than $4 billion of each other's healthcare bills. So many people are joining now wondering, why didn't we do this sooner? Catherine says her family has saved so much over the years.
The savings have been thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
So yes, it works. Find out how much you can save. It's easy. You can call now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number, 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
You could spend your whole life trying to change another person. And I think that most people do spend their whole life doing that.
Actress Chelsea Cameron reflects on her marriage to her husband, Kirk, on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
My husband is out of the reach of my control. And when I learned that there was really only one person that I could control with the help of the Holy Spirit, and that was me, I started realizing that there were some problems in my own heart. It had nothing to do with Hollywood. It had to do with the fact that we both really didn't know how to do this. And we were coming with so much pride and so much opinion. And it wasn't that we needed to move further away from Hollywood. It was that we needed to move closer and dig deeper into the Word of God.
More from Kirk and Chelsea Cameron at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. One quick comment and then to your calls. When the president denounced this Black Lives Matter, critical race theory nonsense that is being taught even in our military and in our government institutions, as well as in corporations and colleges around the country. And Chris Wallace says, well, what's wrong with racial sensitivity training? And you know what my reflection is? These leftists have spent a generation driving the Bible from the public square, taking the Ten Commandments down everywhere you can find them, and now they've got to pay $300,000-$400,000 to some so-called expert to come in and teach people how to treat one another, okay, with racial sensitivity training and learning how to identify implied bias and learning how to deal with your whiteness. It's preposterous. You know, look, they could save themselves several hundred thousand dollars. I'll send them a Bible. Shouldn't cost me more than seven, maybe 10 bucks, and maybe a nice one, 20, 25 bucks. I send him a Bible, give him a Bible. Here you go, read this, follow it, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now let's get back to work. You know, there you go. End of sensitivity training. You know, that's it, over. You know, that class will take about 3 minutes. I mean, this stuff, folks, is just, you know, this is what happens when people become their own God and they want to set up their own moral framework, and they want to become their own moral arbiters, and they decide to create their own moral rules, and then they're going to teach everybody how to follow them. Thank God. But here again, Chris Wallace, where are you? What is wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with racial sensitivity training, sir? Okay, let's get to your calls. In fact, Bob in Ohio, I think, wants to talk about Chris Wallace. Bob, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling once and for all. This is the thing I think personally after watching that debate. Chris Wallace ought to pack all his bags up in that place where he works and go home and never show his face on TV because he disrespected our president in a way that
is
really bad.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Bob. I think he was obviously biased, and he was obviously disrespectful. And it's clear to me, and I would just about bet dollars to donuts, and I don't bet, I don't gamble, but I would about bet dollars to donuts, Chris Wallace is going to vote for Joe Biden. And I just don't think he could contain his obvious preference for him and his obvious disdain for President Trump. So, look, I think you're absolutely right. But I think Fox, that's what Fox wants right now. I think they want these people who lean more left, because I think if, in fact, have you all noticed this? Thank you for the call, by the way, Bob. I'll go to another one. Have you all noticed that Fox is not getting the kind of criticisms they used to get from the really liberal media? Have you all noticed that? That you're not hearing that anymore? And I think that's what the powers that be want. They want to be accepted by these leftists. And so I guess they're getting what they want. Thanks for the call, Bob. Let's go to Essence. Essence in Texas. Essence, I know you've called before because you have an unforgettable name.
Yeah. How are you, my brother?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent. Hey, I just wanted to say that that wasn't a debate. It was a verbal tag team attack. And I think moderators should have their mics cut off after they ask a question, and only questions concerning policies. And I want to know, Bishop, how much Wallace was paid to babysit Biden, and will Biden go back to his basement and search for Waldo until the Dems need to restring their puppet for the next stunt? And, Bishop, I was yelling at my cats when I was watching that setup.
Well, listen, Essence, I felt exactly the same way. But I just thought, and, you know, it's interesting. I told people on a call yesterday with some conservative leaders, and some were saying, well, I had people, conservatives I know, were very disappointed. They thought the president, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we talk to lots and lots of people on this network, and I know we talked to, I talked to lots of people on this program, and I have not found that. I think most conservatives looked at that and thought the president did what he had to do in a hostile environment with two against one. And it was the president who was disrespected by being called names shut up, man. I mean, really? You, to the president of the United States, shut up, man. I mean, that's just, to me, beyond the pale. And you don't even hear, I don't even hear most conservative commentators talking about that. And they should be. Because, my goodness, why don't we begin by restoring a little bit of respect for our institutions? Of course, the left doesn't have any respect for our institutions. They want to tear them down. Thank you for the call, Essence. Appreciate it. Let's go to Thomas in Virginia. Thomas, welcome.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. You want to comment on the debate? Yes. On the debate, huh?
Yes. First of all, I don't think that the moderator should be affiliated with mainstream media anyway. And second of all, here's my idea. I think you, Frank Gaffney, and Rick Warren should be the next panel of moderators on the next debate. What do you think about that idea?
Wow, that is interesting. Now, I know Frank Gaffney. I don't know Rick Warren, but I know Frank Gaffney. And you're right. He would make a tremendous moderator. I mean, sharp as a tack, knows foreign policy left and right. And Thomas, I'm honored that you would include yours truly in that. But you know, you've got a thought there, because maybe there's simply too much interest in becoming the story when you're a personality already on television, because that does seem to be what happens. It happened before, where the people who are supposed to be sort of not even seen because it's about the candidates end up being the story, and that's what's happened here with Chris Wallace. So, yeah, you've got a good point. The next time I talk to Frank Gaffney, I'll tell him your suggestion. I'm sure he will be thrilled. Thanks for the call, Thomas. Let's go to Richard in Arkansas. Richard, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, brother. I was just going to say something about that Indian fellow saying that we all love fascism over here, apparently.
Yeah.
They obviously don't know what fascism is either. I called the other day. My grandfather grew up underneath it, immigrated over here, turned 10 on the boat. He was malnourished, skinny, mm-hmm. and on his way over here. and the sailors on, I forget what ship name it was, but they give him pretty much anything he wanted to eat. The man loved to eat. He wasn't large or anything. He loved to eat, but he grew up underneath it.
Yeah.
And the Indians obviously don't know what fascism is. I know they know what imperialism looks like. I mean, but fascism and imperialism are two completely different beasts.
Hey, Richard, thank you so much for the call. Look, hearing your story is a reminder to us when they throw these insults out that because people support President Trump, they like fascism, it's like sticking a dagger in some people's hearts, because you're right. There are many Americans whose families escaped fascism. That's not what we want for our country. And I don't believe that is in any way. I know that's in no way what the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, has in mind for our country. I think he wants freedom for every American, opportunity for every American. But he does believe in free enterprise. And these other people do not. That's their problem. You're right. They don't know what fascism is. What they know is this. If you don't agree with them, you're a fascist. That's really what it boils down to. Thanks for the call, Richard. Let's go to Miller in Mississippi. Miller, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for the work you do, man. A couple quick comments on Chris Wallace. That was nothing but a hit job. Chris Wallace asked that same question on the Republican primary debate 4 years ago. I mean, exact same question. And also, I've never seen a player play tackle and guard at the same time, to use a football analogy. He played tackle and guard for Biden. Hmm. And also, one more comment, Bishop. Thank you for being the voice that I can't be as a black person. And I know you're black, and I'm not saying black just to bring up a race issue, but you're the voice that I can't be because you're on a radio station. And I think the words you say and speak and non-apologetic about it is exactly what I do and exactly what I do every day without being on the platform that you're on. So thank you. Thanks for being non-apologetic. I can't stand these people that come up and say something, and then the next day they apologize for it. I ain't about all that. But thank you, Bishop.
Well, Miller, thank you. And look, you've got your own platform around the people who you deal with, and I'm sure you catch your share of barbs when you tell the truth to people who are so indoctrinated with lies that it's hard for them to accept the truth when it's told to them. These people have nothing good in mind for this country, and that means they've got nothing good in mind for black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people. What they have in mind really is a totalitarian culture in which they rule over everybody else and tell you what you can and cannot say, what you can and cannot think. And by the way, I think I said this. If you believe that marriage is honorable, as the Bible teaches, that makes you a fascist, because they're against heteronormativity and the patriarchal family. So why in the world anybody sides with these people who claims to be a Christian, at least, is just beyond me, other than just abject ignorance. So we've got to wake up to what's going on around us here. And what's going on around us is really an attempt to overthrow the greatest republic in the history of mankind and the freedom that we all, yes, we all, A-L-L, that we all enjoy. And by the way, in a nation in which all lives matter. Listen, God bless you all. Remember this, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.